Well, Leo just read the account from the Gospel of John of the Passover night, and the Gospel of John is the only place where they talk about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And John spends more time than any of the Gospel writers talking about what happened at the Passover meal. They all reference the Passover. To me, their focus seems to be more about those who were going to betray him and the focus of the elements of the Passover, how Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God who was going to be sacrificed, and he was setting up this new covenant in his blood. But John spends several chapters talking about what Jesus was saying to his disciples in the upper room in the night of the Passover, which was the night before, the night that he was going to be betrayed, the day before he was going to be sentenced to death. So John sees the importance of what Jesus is saying, his final words, so to speak, to his disciples on that in that night in the upper room. Jesus understood that his disciples, they weren't grasping how Jesus was supposed to die. He had told them several times, they had no clue that he was supposed to die. And so because they weren't understanding that he was supposed to die, they probably weren't going to grasp that he was going to rise again 3 days later. So his words to them were especially important, not only for after he would ascend into heaven, but they would need some type of guidance just for these 3 days of silence while he was in the grave. And so that's where we come into this from the Gospel of John. John talks about how Jesus said that he's this true vine, and the disciples needed to stay connected to God in order to find fruit in their lives. He talked about how the Holy Spirit would come, and he would guide them into truth, and they would comfort them. He also talks about how the world is going to hate them and how there's going to be persecution. He talks about how Jesus will give them peace. He talks about how much Jesus loves them. And then he ends in this prayer. And he says, I'm not praying only for you, I'm praying for those who will believe the message after you. So really, in a sense, Jesus' prayer is not only for them, it's for us today. The words that John records are not just a record of history, but it's really something for us to be encouraged by and to guide our own lives today as his disciples. In order to understand the context and what's going on here, we kind of had to understand some culture and some customs of the day. Back then, people weren't into fashion as they were today. Everyone kind of wore the same thing. For the men, their attire would be this undergarment. And an undergarment is kind of like a long shirt. It didn't have sleeves. It pretty much went to about the knee, unless you could afford more to go past the knee. And then it would have some type of wrap around the belt, kind of like a piece of rope or something around the waist. That would be their undergarment. Now, you have to remember, they didn't have boxers or briefs or type of underwear that we have today. So if you didn't have an undergarment on, you were completely naked. Jesus didn't take this off. This is what Jesus left on, his undergarment. Now, a few things we know about Jesus' undergarment was that it was pretty valuable. It was made out of one piece of cloth. It was so valuable that the soldiers, when they were crucifying Jesus, they didn't want to tear it apart. They wanted to play this game. They cast lots to see who would win his underwear. Now, most of us wouldn't think that our underwear is very valuable to win as a prize in a game, but clothing was such valuable merchandise back there. And this was something extraordinary that Jesus had, this one piece of cloth for his undergarment. Well, on top of that, they would have an outer garment, like a robe or a cloak or a coat of some type. And this is what Jesus took off. Now, as Jesus would take that off, then he would only be wearing what we would consider underwear. Thankfully, we're not going to do the full experience today. We're going to only ask you to take your shoes and socks off. But Jesus took off his outerwear. And of course, this would be so humbling to do so in public. Even though he was close friends with his disciples, it was still an awkward moment. And then, of course, everyone wore sandals. Now, during those times, everyone wore sandals. There wasn't such things as socks, and everything was dirty. You're walking around on dirt roads. So your feet were constantly, constantly getting dirty. In fact, there was no such thing as indoor plumbing. So if you had to go outside, even to bathe, as soon as you got done bathing, as you walked back to your house, your feet would get dirty. And Jesus made that illustration in that context. The idea of you, even when you bathe, your feet still need washing because they get dirty very quickly. So it's also believed that the washing someone's feet was kind of the job of the poorest of person. If a house owned a slave, then a slave would wash someone else's feet. But it was also viewed as kind of this hierarchy of who's more important than the other people in a family. Sometimes you would see a wife washing the feet of their husband. Sometimes you would see kids washing the feet of their parents. But more times than not, you would just wash your own feet. You would walk into a home, and hopefully they were generous enough to leave out a bucket of water, and you would wash your own feet. So washing your feet was not something strange. We think of it strange, like, oh, I got to wash someone's feet. That's just weird and gross. But it was something that happened all the time. It wasn't something totally strange, but it was strange that Jesus would do it. So here you have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And I think there's three main reasons or three main lessons that he wanted to teach his disciples. I think the first lesson is that Jesus wanted them to understand that they needed to be humble enough to let Jesus wash their feet. You need to be humble enough to let Jesus wash you. You know, when they got to Peter, he didn't want any part of this. No, you're not going to wash my feet. I mean, he understood who Jesus was. He's the Messiah, the teacher, the rabbi. He was the chosen one of Israel, the king that was going to come. There was no way that he was going to allow his king to get on the floor and wash his feet. Maybe he was a little embarrassed, like, oh man, we're supposed to be the ones doing that. Who was supposed to do that? Was that you, Matthew? You should have done that. Now we got Jesus washing our feet. Look at us. We're a bunch of idiots. Maybe, I think Peter was also embarrassed that here's Jesus washing his feet, and there's just something awkward about allowing someone to serve you. Most of us, we don't like people to serve us. We like to be on the other end. We like to serve. We like to be able to say, you know, God has blessed me with enough, and I have extra that I can bless other people with. We don't like the other side where we say, I've got nothing, and I need people to help us. We don't like to be in that situation. We like to be self-reliant. We like to be independent. We like to say, we've got it all together. We don't need help. And here at this moment, Peter understood, I'm nothing. I need Jesus to wash me. Are we humble enough to allow Jesus to wash us? Do we say that I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and there's nothing that I can do on my own? I'm completely inadequate. We need to humble ourselves to allow Jesus to wash us. I think the other lesson that Jesus was teaching that was that when Jesus washes us, we are completely clean. You know, Peter understood he needed Jesus to wash him. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus, you need to allow him to wash you. So he's like, I know what Jesus can do. I want the joy and the hope that Jesus can bring. I want all in. And so he says, wash my head, wash my hands, wash everything. He didn't want to just have his toes washed. He wanted everything that Jesus had to offer. Jesus goes into this thing saying, you've already been bathed. You don't need to be clean. Only your feet need to be washed. It's that illustration of going and taking a bath outside and then your feet get dirty real quick. And I think Jesus is saying, You already get it. You're already one of my disciples. I've cleaned you. You've been bathed by my word. But I understand that you're going to sin real quickly. It's so easy for us to sin. But that doesn't mean that we're not clean. It just means that our feet are a little dirty. And Jesus knows that even when we have this salvation experience, we can go right out the doors and sin. And he's saying, I get that. You don't need another salvation experience. You just need to come and get your feet cleaned. It's all right. Come to me. I'll clean them off. Ask for forgiveness, and God will cleanse and will forgive your sins. It will wash your feet off. I think Jesus is also teaching them that we as disciples, we need to continue being humble to serve one another, just as Jesus serve the disciples. It was around this time the disciples were knowing that Jesus was about ready to become king, or they kind of thought Jesus was going to come king in a different way. And so they were fighting, who's going to be the greatest among us? Hey, I want to sit on the left-hand side of Jesus. I want to sit on the right side. And Jesus is like, I got to teach you guys a lesson. And Jesus doesn't teach a lesson by just saying words. He teaches with object lessons, with actions, with an example. And so that's when Jesus takes the robe off and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. He's teaching them a lesson. He's saying, I want you to serve one another, so I'm going to show you how to do it. I think Jesus understands that sometimes as disciples, we're not sometimes so quick to do something just because Jesus said it. We kind of sometimes reason through it. Well, I don't know if that applies to me. That was kind of a cultural experience and all that kind of stuff. Jesus is saying, I'm doing it, so you do it. The slave is not greater than the master. If the master is willing to do it, you better do it. So he's saying, you've got to humble yourself. Keep humbling yourself. Allow me to wash you. Know that you are completely clean. And then go out and show that love and serve one another. So in just a few moments, you'll have the opportunity to wash someone else's feet. And I want you to just kind of lay aside any kind of hesitancy you may have had or what that looks like. And as a disciple of Jesus, I want you just to rejoice that you have already allowed Jesus to wash you completely. You are clean. Yeah, you got your feet dirty probably. You probably sinned as you walked in here. And we're going to have an opportunity for you just to spend some time with God and clean your feet off spiritually. But I want you to just rejoice that God has cleansed you. You are completely clean through the blood of Jesus. And I want you to be excited about that you can show that love, that same love, to somebody else. And then allow someone to show you that love. And if for some reason you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never allowed Jesus to wash you, then I urge you that you could take the time today and you could say, God, I've been trying to take care of my sin on my own. I've been trying to fix this relationship with you with my good works, but I know that's not how it works. It's not working. And I need you, Jesus, to wash me. Just ask God to wash you, and he'll wash you completely clean. So I'm just going to give a moment, about 60 seconds for us, for you just to pray at your table, for you just to talk with God. Talk about any sins that you need to wash off your feet, get some toe jam out of the way, whatever you need. And then Ken's going to come up, explain the foot washing experience, and then after that we'll close with a song and end the service, all right? Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful that you showed us by example what it means to humble ourselves and to serve one another. God, it's sometimes very humbling to be served and to serve one another. But God, you created the ultimate example for us. You humbled yourself. And God, we are so grateful that you were so willing to wash us. And you wash us completely clean. God, as the next few moments of just silence, I pray that people would just spend time talking with you and you would reveal to them if there is any sin in their lives that they have just not been made aware of, that they could just seek you for forgiveness. And God, you said that you will bless us for doing these things. We don't do them just because you told us to. We're not obeying you just as our leader, as our example, but we're doing them because you said that we would be blessed by us. Allow us to feel that blessing this evening.